Thank you all. Let us proceed with our service today in the Pete Seeger Story, Part 1.
On May 3, 1919, a baby boy was born. His parents named him Peter. He had two older brothers, and his mom and dad were both classical musicians. His dad played piano, and his mom played the violin. Sometimes they played concerts together. Peter's mother, especially, hoped that he would become a classical musician, too. He got interested in the banjo. The summer he was 17, on a trip down south with his dad, he heard real banjo music for the first time. He was hooked. Peter had other interests, too. Music was actually his third passion. For a long time, he thought he would become a journalist. He went to Harvard, because that was where people in his family were supposed to go. But Harvard didn't have courses in journalism.
By now, people called him Pete. Pete also liked to draw, and he thought that maybe he was good enough to become a professional artist. One summer, he traveled all over upstate New York by himself, making pictures of people's houses and barns, and then knocking on their door and giving them the pictures in exchange for a meal and a place to spend the night. It didn't take Pete long to figure out he couldn't make a living as a painter. But he didn't have much use for Harvard. And at 19, he was living on his brother's couch in New York City. He picked up whatever work he could and kept playing the banjo. And eventually, he got a start and became Pete Seeger, singer, songwriter, and banjo player crusader. Pete Seeger got involved with politics and with causes that mattered to him, socialism and the rights of workers to fair wages and safe working conditions. He went to rallies and demonstrations, and he sang in union halls. He met the great songwriter Woody Guthrie, and they traveled and performed together. One of the greatest songs Woody Guthrie wrote was "This Land Is Your Land." He wrote it in protest to the hugely popular Irving Berlin song, "God Bless America." He was tired of hearing that song on the radio. He thought it was the worst kind of jingoism, smug and falsely sentimental. Originally, when Woody Guthrie wrote his song, the last line of the chorus was not "This land was made for you and me," but instead, "God bless America for me." Many of the lyrics were considered subversive. These lyrics address liberty and individual rights and property ownership. Pete and Woody sang it on their concerts together.
When asked to provide a song for a Pete Seeger tribute record, Bruce Springsteen went out and bought every record that Pete Seeger ever made. He listened to them all and he said, "I heard 100 voices in those songs and stories from across the span of American history, parlor songs, church music, tavern music, street music." Pete Seeger had a sense of the musician as being the link and the thread of people who sing in others' voices and carry the tradition forward, and of the songwriter in the daily history of the place where he lived. And at the same time, he always maintained a tremendous sense of fun and lightness, which is where his grace manifested itself, and he played for anyone who would listen. When he became famous, he would get letters from some of the people whose farmhouses he painted in exchange for food on that long bike trip he took. And one said, "Aren't you the fellow who painted the picture of my barn the wrong color?" As Claudia said, when he was still a teenager, he fell in love with a banjo at a ballad festival in Asheville, North Carolina. And this is what he wrote about the songs that he first heard there. "Compared to the trivialities of the popular songs, the words of the ballads had all of the meat of human life in them. They sang of heroes and outlaws and murderers and fools, and they weren't afraid of being tragic instead of sentimental, being scandalous instead of being cute. Above all, to me, they seemed frank, straightforward, and honest.
Pete Seeger was also a peace activist in the 1930s. In addition to folk songs and songs about workers' rights, he wrote and sang peace songs. But, like many others, he believed that Hitler's Germany was a greater threat to human justice than was the injustice that is war. So, Pete Seeger served in the Army in World War II. He was trained as a mechanic, but was quickly reassigned to a unit that entertained the troops. He spent the war playing his banjo and singing. When he got out, he married Toshi Ota, a young woman he'd met earlier in New York. Toshi's father was a Japanese-American, and her mother, a Virginia blue blood, who had defied her family when she married Toshi's dad. Pete's commitment to socialism and workers' rights continued. It wasn't always easy. Pete Seeger and his friends were persecuted by people who were afraid of left-wing politics. At one concert in upstate New York, the Ku Klux Klan got involved, and hundreds of people gathered to throw rocks at the performers as they were leaving. Pete and his family and the other musicians barely escaped with their lives. Some of them were badly hurt. But Pete's success as a singer was growing. In 1948, he and a few friends started a group called the Weavers. Pete and Lee Hayes wrote "If I Had a Hammer." The Weavers were on the brink of real success. And then they were blacklisted. That meant that the government accused them all of being communists. Record companies wouldn't produce their records, and most TV and radio stations wouldn't play their songs. Pete Seeger was eventually called before Congress to testify. He decided not to plead the Fifth Amendment. That was seen as a way of letting everyone think you were actually guilty without really saying it. Pete wouldn't do that. He was indicted.
His trial took place in 1961, and he was convicted, but fortunately the conviction was overturned quickly, which meant he never did have to go to prison. But as Posey said, he was blacklisted for almost a decade, and during that time, he barely eked out a living by relying on singing at summer camps and at private liberal schools. True to his nature, at the time even, he said, being blacklisted was actually a blessing because he never did feel comfortable with fame and success. And the notoriety that came with it. And he said he was happy to be able to go back to schools and camps and to sing to and with children. He was a great admirer of Dr. Martin Luther King. He marched in Selma, and on a trip around the world that he took with his family, he performed concerts, and he would always include that old Union song adapted for the civil rights movement called "We Shall Overcome." Our next hymn, number 169, "We Shall Overcome."
Pete Seeger and his family had lived next to the Hudson River in upstate New York for years and years. When they first moved there after World War II, trees grew on the banks, birds made their nests, fish swam. The Hudson was a living river. But as the years went by, people built factories up and down the river and dumped chemicals into it. They dumped their dirty water and their garbage into it.
After a while, the water got so dirty that the Hudson was not a thriving place anymore. It was barely even alive. Pete knew this was wrong. He knew the water should run clear again. He would need help. He knew he couldn't clean up the river all by himself either. The Hudson is a long river. A lot of people live near it. All of them would have to help. So Pete went to get help. He asked people. He wrote letters to people. He talked to people. But mostly what he did was sing to people. Pete Seeger decided to make something happen. He decided to build a ship like the great sailing ships that had traveled the river 100 years ago, back when it was clean and clear. The ship would show people what had been and what could be again. That ship would be the Clearwater. People came from all over to hear him sing, and in his music, they saw a better world. So they gave money to help build the ship Clearwater. $60,000 was collected from those concerts. Thousands of people sent in membership money for the Hudson River Sloop Restoration Group. In July of 1969, the ship Clearwater was launched into the Hudson River. She slipped into the water, her sails caught the breeze, flying like a gull on a whisper of wind. Less than a year later, in April of 1970, the Clearwater sailed down the Hudson River and out into the Atlantic, down past New Jersey and Delaware and Virginia, and into the Chesapeake Bay and up the Potomac River, right up to the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C. The Clearwater went to Washington for the very first Earth Day to help teach people about how to keep our land clean and our water clear. The Clearwater is still going strong. It's like a special school. More than 10,000 people go on board every year, all kinds of people, old people, young people, big kids, little kids, and they learn about fish and crabs and water and bubbles and grass and all the things a living river needs.
Today, the Hudson River is cleaner than it was all those years ago when Pete Seeger first got the idea to build the Clearwater. And the sky is cleaner, too, and so is the land. But we still have a very long way to go. Through the last 75 years of Pete Seeger's life and his songs, we can almost trace our country's recent history. As a friend of his said about him, the movements he influenced all had sprung out of his concern for peace, right behavior, and human dignity. And we can add clean water and a clean earth, too. And did we mention that Pete Seeger is a Unitarian Universalist? So let us end our service with a song, the song by Woody Guthrie, that he and Pete Seeger sang together everywhere that helped label them subversives. This land is your land. This land is my land.
One, two, three, four.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is yours. sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, while all around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me, this land is yours.
Remain standing and join in the words to extinguish the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we meet again.
Amen. Amen.